Welcome into a new episode of the Bengals Beat podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with my co-host Jason Williams, and it has been an unusual week for a lot of people, including Jason and I, who were sitting next to each other in the press box at Paycor Stadium on Monday night when DeMar Hamlin suffered his collapse and then cardiac arrest, where they were able to restore his heartbeat on the field before taking him in an ambulance to the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, where he remains in critical condition. I think we should start by saying, we're all thinking of DeMar Hamlin and his family, and nothing about this has been easy as journalists trying to cover such a tragic story. There's been some encouraging news recently regarding his status. The Bills apparently FaceTimed with DeMar Hamlin's dad, and he revealed that they're seeing some progress with DeMar, which is good. But you just hope that over the next couple of days you continue to get positive news, because he's currently sedated, so there's still a lot of questions to be figured out. But I wanted to start out the podcast by saying that. Jason, did you want to say anything before we kind of dig into what happened?
No, just out of that, my family and I are praying for DeMar Hamlin. I know it's been an interesting, few days in terms of talking with my 10-year-old son, who was at home with my wife watching the game. And, when it happened, I got a text from my wife saying, "Hey, Reed and I are watching the game, and I'm trying to explain this to him." And so it's been interesting from that perspective. And I'm sure that's going on all across the country right now, of dads and moms trying to explain, "Hey, what happened to their kid, or what happened here to their kids?" And just all kinds of different conversations. But just the one thing I would like to add is the outpouring of support and prayers for him across the globe, certainly across America. And it's really cool to see, just here at home in Cincinnati, how Cincinnatians, greater Cincinnatians, Bengals fans have really rallied to the cause and, supporting him, showing up at the hospital, supporting his foundation. In a world that, having covered politics prior to coming over to this job, and a lot of negativity in this world, a lot of it right now, it seems. And when do you see people rally like this? Even in a hard time, it gives you a little bit of hope. So, just shout out to everyone who's really rallied to this and are supportive.
Yeah, well said. So let's start with our initial reaction and what came next for us. Typically after a game, Jason writes his column, I write an analysis piece based off of what happens in the game, but I go to the locker room and talk to players and coaches, and the game stops, and he and I both also were covering the Dolphins game back in week 4. When I'm not even going to say it's similar, because in no way, shape, or form is it similar. But Tua Tagovailoa suffered a concussion, and he was down. Remember how long he was down for and how kind of sad that was? And he was taken by ambulance to University of Cincinnati Medical Center, too. But it felt completely different this time around for me, because typically, they try to get the player, no matter how injured he is, off the field as quickly as they can so they can resume the game. And DeMar Hamlin was just not moving. And the players, you just kept seeing worse reaction from the players and coaches. And I remember sitting, but I was specifically watching Bills coach Sean McDermott, who was squatting with his head in his hands at the 50-yard line, kind of behind the ring that the Bills players made while they kneeled. And he just looked incredibly distraught. And you start in the press row, you hear some people saying, I think he's doing CPR. But from our vantage point, you couldn't tell right away because of kind of how the bills were blocking what was going on. But then you got confirmation that they were doing CPR. And then that's when it really hits you like, oh, wow, this is not anything like we've ever seen. And then they get him on the backboard, put him in the stretcher, and get him on the ambulance. And then we're all sitting around like, what are they going to do with this game? Like, what comes next? So I'll pause there. But what was your initial reaction?
Well, that's interesting you bring up the Tua thing, because that was my first thought, too. It's like, oh, no, again. And then when you realize that DeMar Hamlin wasn't moving, it was immediately, oh my goodness, this is not good, and this is scary. I'm thinking back to the Tua situation. I remember almost immediately getting, you know, being pretty, well, being scared and being angry, because as you remember, Tua was coming off concussion issues and shouldn't have been. There's a lot of debate whether he should have been playing. And I mean, my opinion, that is shared by many, is that he shouldn't have been playing. And so you immediately had kind of, that was part of the reaction here. It was like, just absolutely scared, worried. And then Kelsey, where you and I sit, we have a couple of NFL officials, official NFL officials, who run the clocks, sit right next to us, and one of them had binoculars, and then other people, and there were two other people that I know of in the press box near us who had binoculars, and they all were saying the same thing. They were conducting chest compressions. They could see it from whatever angles they were with their binoculars, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is something we haven't seen before. And like, you're just sitting there in silence and in shock, and then just the moment is surreal. And you're like, they've got an IV out. They've got the, you know, they're doing CPR. We've never seen this before. And what is going to happen here? And I just remember all of us just kind of sitting there in silence, really. I mean, right? I mean, we were talking a little bit, but the whole stadium, I just remember the whole stadium just being just completely silent.
Yeah.
And it was an eerie feeling. And I mean, to be honest with you, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking the worst. And I'm thinking, this is football. This is a game. This is not policing or construction or, you know, some of these really, really highly dangerous professions. Although it is, it's a violent sport, but you're thinking like, you're never thinking like, at least I don't, or you never think like someone's life is going to be put in jeopardy. Like, yeah, there are serious injuries, and we've seen incredibly serious injuries, sadly, with Ryan Shazier and, you know, and neck injuries and head injuries. But I don't think you ever, and it's, at least it hasn't for me, has ever crossed my mind, like, is it life and death
situation? Right.
And I wasn't there for the Shazier thing, and I'm sure that was probably some of the thought at that point. But those were really the thoughts that were going through my mind.
So let's talk about what came after that in terms of our brains in journalism. And I'm going to take a break and actually just read you something that I just got a Twitter notification while on here with you, that is from the Bills. And it says, per the physicians caring for DeMar Hamlin at the University of Cincinnati Medical Center, DeMar has shown remarkable improvement over the past 24 hours. While still critically ill, he has demonstrated that he appears to be neurologically intact. His lungs continue to heal, and he is making steady progress. So
that's encouraging. I think this is, 2 days in a row, have gotten some, and at least something that you think that is encouraging.
Right.
His uncle, you know, came out yesterday as we record here on Thursday morning, and gave a little update, and it sounded like some progress was being made, and this one sounds like even more. And it's, you know, I've talked to some folks in medical profession, and even one family friend whose husband dealt with cardiac arrest and came through it, but it was a very, very long process of being in the hospital, basically not conscious, or, you know, in the hospital, but a long process that didn't come through that and obviously didn't recover. But yeah, so I always want to be careful about, like, just speaking on the medical piece, because, like,
right,
that's,
yeah,
I don't think it's a stretch to say that this is a long process that here that's going on. And I want to say that's actually encouraging to be able to say that this could be a long process.
Right.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. So I think what I want to talk about next is, you and I both have jobs to do. But this is a really tragic, horrific situation, and people are coming to Cincinnati.com for answers. They want to know what's going on. But as a columnist, your job really isn't to report essentially on what's happening in the moment, like what the Bengals are saying. Like, that's more my job as the beat reporter. Your job is to have some sort of perspective that you want to share. And I'm not going to even say a take, because I think that's taking away from, like, what you actually do as a columnist. But you have to have some perspective. But did you have any issues having to inject your opinion in this moment? Because for me, a lot of people keep texting, or were texting me, and, you know, they were saying, I hope you're okay. And, you know, obviously I was shooken up and sick about it, but in no way, shape, or form was it about me. And I just wonder, from your perspective, was it hard to have an opinion in a moment like that? Were you worried that you would come off as like, why does this guy have to talk, right? Like, we don't really care about his opinion. Did you worry about that at all?
Well, I really wrestled with the column that night. I didn't get out of the press box until, again, it was almost going on 2 a.m. I just really wrestled with what to say, how to say it. I certainly, and no one can ever accuse me of not writing with emotion. I write with a lot of emotion and a lot of passion. And, you know, I had all, but this is one of those, usually when I write with emotion, it's one emotion that immediately comes to mind and I run with it. This one, there were tons of emotions and just thoughts, and, like, I'm having a hard time reeling it in. And sometimes the best thing to do in that situation is just kind of open your laptop and just sort of go whoosh and just write and see where it comes out. And it's interesting you say, too, like, people were texting you. That same thing was happening with me. Like, people were texting me, like, are you okay? And I'm thinking, like, am I okay? Like, yeah. Like, why are people worried about? And you know, I think my broader thought on that is that, like, people were trying to process the moment. Like, this thing just went, just the unprecedented nature of it. I know people like using the word unprecedented, like, you know, let's face it, we haven't seen this really in our lifetime of modern football, or what we know today as modern football. We really, generally, modern sports. Like, we certainly haven't seen this in the NFL. And so I think people were just trying to, like, like what, like, and maybe like, can you, do you have a thought on this? Like, do you, maybe they thought like, oh, you saw that happen. And like, did you see the guy collapse and what it was like for him after that? Or I don't know, but people were texting me the same thing. And, I was very brutally honest in my column. Like, these are the emotions I thought I would feel, that I wanted to feel, that I'm feeling, and I wanted to be mad, and I wanted to be mad at someone. I wanted to be angry, and I've certainly been critical of the NFL, and so there's all this stuff going around. Then I just, like, in my column, I was just like, no, and this was my process that night too. I'm like, I just had to stop and try to block out all these other thoughts and wanting to be mad or blame someone or what the heck, why was the guy playing maybe, or, you know, even all that stuff, like, that just goes around your mind. Like, when you're trying as a journalist and as a human being, you're just trying to process and figure out, well, how do we get to this point? And I'm just like, even my column, I just said, nah, just stop. Some freak occurrence happened here. Let's not try to speculate. Let's just wait and pray and be patient and show some, you know, empathy and understanding and sensitivity for the moment. And, you know, Mo Egger said it, talk radio guy said a really nice line sometime this week, where he's like, it's okay to not have a take. I think I'm paraphrasing what he said, but generally he talked about that, and he's exactly right. Like, we're in the business of reporting the news and commentating on the news. And so, you know, I was at that moment. I'm like, I don't know what to say. And yet,
right,
I'm in the business of having to say something.
Right.
And, yeah. So that was where I was at, Kelsey. Like, it was, unlike any other occurrence or happening I've ever experienced in my journalism career of, you know, 20, almost 25 years. And, right. You know, I've covered politics and business and hard news and sports and, you know, so I've seen a lot, but I hadn't seen anything like that. And hopefully never see anything like it again.
Yeah, you definitely hope. We'll wrap this conversation up by talking about this weekend quickly. The Ravens game is still on. It appears that the Bengals are going to play the Ravens, and the Bills are going to play the Patriots. Mm-hmm. And there's still a lot going on with what happens if this game is made up or isn't. My guess, which I'm not reporting this is just my personal opinion, they mm-hmm. don't make it up, but there's a lot of factors. It's hard to understand when they're going to announce it, because I think this weekend's games are going to play a factor in if they do play the game, because say the Bengals win and the Bills win and the Chiefs win, what would be the point of playing the Bengals Bills game at that? Like, you could say, oh yeah, for the number two seed. But at that point, I feel like you just say, you know, tough cookies. This is how it's going to go. Kansas City 1, Buffalo 2, Cincinnati 3.
Yes.
But if the Chiefs were to lose to the Raiders and the Bengals win and the Bills lose, how is that fair to Cincinnati? And none of this is fair. So fair is probably not the right word for me to use, but I could see where the Bengals, you know, have an argument with the league in saying, you know, first round bye is a big deal. And having potentially two home games at Paycor Stadiums, a big deal financially, for home field advantage. So I could see where the Bengals would say, you know what? No, like, that we want to play this game. So we'll wait and see what happens this weekend. But it sounds like Lamar Jackson probably is not going to play again. He didn't practice yesterday. I'll monitor his situation today and Friday, but he hasn't played in over a month. I don't think that there's any way the Bengals lose this game if Lamar Jackson isn't playing. The Ravens just can't score without him. Even with Lamar, I think the Bengals would win. But even if the Bengals lose, they're still a half game up on the Bengals, on the Ravens. And the question here is, and I was asking a bunch of people yesterday, say, so if the league decides the game is not going to be made up, even if the Bengals lose on Sunday, they would still be AFC North champs and would still host a playoff game. But if they lose and the NFL says, we're going to make this game up, and they then lose to the Bills, then they would not be AFC North champs. The Ravens would be, and the Bengals would go on the road for the playoffs. How do you envision, in your opinion, this all shaking out?
Oh, goodness. Well, I envision that the Bills-Bengals game will not be played. And whatever shakes out this weekend and whoever comes out of whatever the results are, everyone will be seated accordingly to that. And yeah, there's lots of rabbit holes we can go down and scenarios and all that. But at the end of the day, like this is just going to be chalked up to a very rare occurrence happened. And what's the right words? I mean, it's just, you have to adjust. That's life kind of thing. And right. If financially something needs to be adjusted, or the Bengals or some team needs to be made whole, like, you know, you'd hope the NFL would take care of that. But, you know, more so I'm talking about, you know, the playoffs and the seedings. And it's just going to be really weird because, you know, if the Bengals do kind of get the short end of the stick, and what's the reaction going to be like? Is it going to be of anger? Is it going to be of like, well, like this crazy thing happened, and like, yeah, that's yeah, like there's nothing you can do about it kind of thing. That's where I'm at. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. That's how everything fell, and you have to move on. And there's, how, depending on, you know, you sit here, you think about all these scenarios, and you think about what if and what ahead, and if the Bengals would have won and won out and gotten home field advantage all the way through the playoffs and went on and won the Super Bowl, versus they only get one playoff game, they win it, and then they go on and lose. Let's just say they lose the divisional game, and then it's like we will be talking about, I don't think it even, regardless of how this plays out, I think we're going to be talking about this for a long time. Depending in some ways it could go, we could be talking about it 30 years from now. Well, remember that year when the Bengals got, you know, the unfortunate short end of the stick, and instead of, you know, they had won 7 games in a row, and yet that happened, and they ended up being the, you know, dropped all this really far in seeding because of this rare occurrence, and they lost their first playoff game, and that was a Super Bowl team that, you know, that was a team that everyone thought could win the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, I could see that happening, like, you know, 20 years from now.
Absolutely. We
have that conversation, like, we could sit here and, you know, fill an entire, you know, couple pages worth of writing out scenarios of how this could happen, or what might be, or what might have been, and that kind of thing. And I think that they're just going to have to roll with what whatever card they're dealt. And that sounds just unfortunate, but
Bengals certainly looked ready to go. On Monday,
they were moving that ball.
Yeah,
and that's something obviously you wouldn't expect to have talked about at all. But like, and you and I have talked a little bit about it as we just talk processing all this stuff. But you think about, man, they were they zipped right down the field, and then they were moving right down the field again on, you know, that drive. And yeah, and you know, the other thing we were talking about in the stadium yesterday, Kelsey, I don't mean to drag on, but like, I know this is what fans are thinking about too. You know, all of us, the writers, were in the press room there at the stadium yesterday, and you know, we're all talking about, like, what if they do resume the game? Do they resume the game at the same yard line at the same time of the game? 5:58 left in the first quarter, a 7-3 Bengals lead. Bengals have the ball. Or do you start the entire game over? Do you play it at Paycor Stadium? Is it played somewhere else? Is it do the stats from the you know, the what, half of a quarter that was played, a little over half of a quarter that was played, do those count? As of right now, all that stuff's up in the air.
Right.
And again, it ultimately, in the grand scheme of things, isn't important.
Yeah. But I will say, it's hard to not think that the Bills are going to win the Super Bowl at this point. I mean, they're going to have their entire city. They already have their entire city, you know, absolutely devoted to them. But I don't know. I feel like this has just made things gonna, not that, I don't know, I feel terrible saying like head in the right direction, but I mean, can't you just see them, you know, after what they've been through, just dedicating every game to Damar Hamlin? And I mean, I feel like if they have home games, that this weekend, that game between the Patriots, if they have a moment of silence, I feel like that fan base is gonna be just absolutely outpouring of love. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all unfolds over the next couple of days, because by Sunday night, we'll definitely know what the league's plans are for sure. You take a Super Bowl favorite and put them through a horrific tragedy. It's hard not to think that they'll make sure that this tragedy gets, you know, they dedicate the rest of the season to Damar Hamlin.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's it for Jason and I. We just wanted to hop on and talk about the last couple of days, you know, what we were trying to do and, you know, some of our thoughts about what's to come. We will obviously keep you updated over the weekend. Jason and I will be back at Paycor Stadium on Sunday. The game time is 1:00. The league announced it yesterday. So I'll have a nice 1:00 game on Sunday. So be sure to check back at Cincinnati.com ahead of the game for everything you want to know about the matchup. And Jason and I will be back to recap the Bengals-Ravens game and hopefully start talking about some playoff scenarios. Thanks for tuning in.